A Sigh for Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The past couple days have been welcome relief for the stock markets. Bank stocks have soared, oil prices have dropped, the Dow had its best two-day percentage gain in 6 years. I just don't know how long it's going to last. Because last night, after the bell, there were disappointing profit reports from Google, Microsoft, and Merrill Lynch. The overseas markets are down this morning. In Japan, the Nikkei closed 0.5% lower to end the week. European shares are down about the same so far. The Dow added another 200 points yesterday, almost 2%, to 11,446. The NASDAQ climbed 27. The S&P 500 was up 14. Oil is at $131 a barrel. Coca-Cola turned in its profit report yesterday. It was better than expected, but it still wasn't very good. So Coke is going to raise its prices. Sam Eaton explains.
Higher commodity and bottling costs have eaten into Coca-Cola's bottom line. The solution, at least for Coke's bottling company Coca-Cola Enterprises, is to pass those costs on to consumers. But retail analyst Phil Limpert says the strategy may backfire.
When we look at the soda business, we're seeing sales decline year after year for almost the past decade. So when you have price increases hitting, more consumers are going to be looking at that bottle of Coca-Cola and saying, do I really need this?
Especially with the recent run-up in food costs. Limpert says consumers are foregoing soda pop for more essential items like milk and bread. And if they do splurge on bottled drinks, they're more likely to buy generic store brands at a lower cost. Limpert says instead of raising prices, Coke should innovate. And the first place to start, he says, is by speeding the launch of drinks sweetened with stevia, the first all-natural zero-calorie sweetener. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Here's my favorite story of the week. The Big Mac is 40 years old, and McDonald's is holding a songwriting contest for a new Big Mac jingle. There are five finalists. Their songs are posted online where people can vote on them. One of the finalists is Tamian Derek Bain. He's 29 years old and lives in Miami.
To all beef patties, with a special sauce. Cheese, pickles, lettuce, onions on a sesame seed bun.
When he was 14, Tamian robbed a McDonald's at gunpoint. He was treated as an adult and served 12 years in prison. That's where he got interested in music. McDonald's will announce the winner next week.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Clarkson Potter's The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Today is Nelson Mandela's birthday. He's 90 years old. South Africa has come a long way since apartheid, not just socially, but economically as well. Gretchen Wilson gives us Exhibit A.
At this Guess clothing store, customers paw through racks of designer jeans and t-shirts. Sales here are exceeding all expectations. This mall has everything, from Prada sandals to Bulgari sunglasses. But it's in one of South Africa's former shantytowns, Soweto. This place was a hub of political activism during the anti-apartheid movement. Now, it's the seat of South Africa's emerging middle class. Store manager Temla Dlamini says these days, Sowetans want to be known for their buying power, not their poverty.
The thing is, you look at this new mall, people have, they feel that, you know, at last, they've got something that they can look at and they can be proud of. Everybody's excited about it.
Everybody, including Nelson Mandela, who headlined the mall's opening ceremony. And if you look past the fountains and skylights in this $65 million superstructure, it tells an even bigger story about how the country's economic aims have shifted in the 14 years since apartheid ended, from radical social democracy to full-scale capitalism. Cliptown, Soweto, is an area just a few miles from where the mall now stands. Back in 1955, Nelson Mandela joined communists and other activists at this very spot. They called for the nationalization of the country's mining and banking industries. But after apartheid ended, the new leadership focused more on privatization and trade agreements than tightening government's grip on business. Political analyst Dale McKinley.
Capital-friendly policies were adopted across the board.
While that alienated the ruling party's longtime allies, the Communist Party and the Trade Union Federation, it reassured international investors, and it sparked GDP growth of about 5% nationwide. That's a catalyst for consumer spending, and businesses are thriving. In Soweto, shoppers say they're glad Johannesburg's formerly white suburbs are now not the only place to buy the latest fashions. In Soweto, South Africa, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Is your city walkable? The website walkscore.com rates cities and neighborhoods on how easy it is to get from your home to restaurants, grocery stores, and libraries. San Francisco comes out on top. We wondered how much better businesses do in walkable towns. Mitchell Hartman reports from the 10th most walkable city, Portland, Oregon.
Portland's Pearl District gets an almost perfect score. Streets are narrow, sidewalks are wide, there's lots of street-level retail. Eric Wernes and Aaron Heath are visiting from Boston.
We've been here for a day, and already we are getting around pretty easily.
It doesn't take very long to get anywhere. Someone will tell us, go 10 blocks if you want to find this store or whatever, and we're noticing that 10 blocks is like nothing.
Nearby in Chinatown, Christopher Yarrow has a shop selling home furnishings and knickknacks from Southeast Asia.
There's a combination of street traffic and also public transportation has a big effect. When people come down here or they walk into my store, I generally find that they're kind of looking for an experience.
Yarrow's happy that experience-seeking shoppers can mosey in on foot, but there's a downside. Portland's been planned to discourage driving, and there's not much parking. So Yarrow knows he's losing some potential customers to the not-very-walkable suburban mall. In Portland, I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.